Well, 30 years ago, kind of one of those groundbreaking films came out, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, which is, if you haven't seen it, well, stop it. Go watch it. You need to see it.
But you need to prepare to see it.
Oh, yeah.
It is. The writer, director, John McNaughton in the studio with us. Wouldn't that be safe to say you need to prepare to watch this masterpiece?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's not going to be like anything else you've seen.
No, really. Nothing.
And it's pretty pretty shocking.
It is loosely based. Tell us about the real Henry.
It's loosely based on a man named Henry Lee Lucas, who is, again, I've been a true crime aficionado my whole life. I grew up in the South Side, so crime was, you know, I was surrounded by it. And so at any rate, when I was doing the research for this, you know, the term serial killer, I'd never heard it before. It was new. The FBI coined the term, I found out years later, about 2 or 3 years before Henry, about 2 or 3 years before I first saw the term. And Henry was one of the early, you know, there have been serial killers, but one of the first ones to catch the name. And he had a partner named Otis, O-T-T-I-S, Elwood Toole. And they traveled with a young woman named Becky, who was, I think, Otis's cousin, perhaps.
But we know him better from the movie as Otis, correct?
Well, we changed it to Otis because just Otis was awkward.
Yeah, and, sure.
You
know,
and
you don't want to make anyone
Otis
uncomfortable.
Good point, Bill. So this was made in 1986, but it didn't come out right away. Explain that.
Well, I don't think the owners were terribly impressed with it when they first saw. They, you know, I went to, as I often say, I didn't go to film school. I went to art school. And I always, you know, wanted to be an artist. So it was, to me, it was a work of art. And although it's classified as horror, I don't really consider it to be a film about human beings that do horrific things, but it's not what I call ooga booga horror.
It's not a horror.
It's stark realism, and it more comes out of American social realism as much as it comes out of horror film genre.
But, John, the comparisons have been made to Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, and you can certainly draw those parallels. But in that film, much like your film, it's a character study about a very disturbed human being. So it's not horror in the traditional way. It's not your Frankenstein or Dracula, but it's an inner horror.
Yeah, to me, there's nothing more horrific. I mean, again, I love traditional sort of horror, ooga booga horror movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you walk out of the theater, there's no, you know, you walk out of the theater when you see Henry, and he I know a lot of people that were looking for him. Because to me, there's nothing more horrific than what human beings are capable of. And what's inside of us, our darker regions, which there's no escape from, whereas there's always an escape from Freddy.
Yeah.
As much as I like Freddy.
Yeah. Freddie Fender, you're referring to, right? The singer?
The last
two. Stop that.
I saw a great interview with Freddie Fender one time. It was really cool. Right. But anyway.
So, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, it is the 30th anniversary in January. Or was? When is the actual anniversary? I just know that you have a big event coming up next month.
Yeah. It would be 31 years ago right now that Richard Fire and I were writing it. And Hollywood and Lakeshore, where he was living in a building over there. I just drove by it the other day because I had to go to Northwestern for an interview. But it would be 30 years ago that, right about now, that we completed it. Worked most of my career with an editor named Elena Maganini, who used to work for Sinnott and Associates, an animation house not too far from here. And we cut it at her apartment right over by Oz Park.
Really?
And that was finished, I think, probably around 30 years ago in the late summer.
For those of us who have seen the movie, John, it doesn't leave you soon. The movie kind of lingers for days, weeks, sometimes months or years. As you're making this, was it hard to sleep because it's just so edgy? Was it tough to survive in the world while you were making this?
No, because it's make believe when you're doing. Even though it's the scene, you know, the key scene, the home invasion, as it's called.
Yeah.
I will say we shot two takes of that, and there was really almost no crew. And that was Waleed Ali's new house. He had just bought that house. So he was going to redo it, so it didn't matter if we made a mess.
Yeah. Which,
but when we shot the second take, I just turned to the few people that were there. There was the actors, the guy with the bag over his head. He was our PA.
Oh, he was? Yeah.
Yeah. And the kid that comes in and gets murdered, the woman that just dropped me off, my longtime assistant, that was her little boy who's now a grown man.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of friends were working in that picture.
Sure.
But I just turned to those assembled and I said, none of us are going to heaven after shooting this.
And all local artists, and how'd you hook up with Michael Rooker? Because he, of course, plays Henry and swimmingly, may I just say.
I will go take one step back from there. There's a man named Steve Jones, Stephen A. Jones, not the guy from the Sex Pistols.
Oh, right.
And Steve worked with Elena Maganini over at Sinnott & Associates. He was a director of animation. But he grew up in the Brooklyn Projects and came to Chicago to go to school at Illinois Institute of Technology. Steve was very young. Steve skipped 2 years of grammar school. Very smart guy. Mm-hmm. And came here and went to IIT. And it just so happened, and Steve was a musician, a drummer. But a lot of the guys I grew up with in Roseland, we all played in rock and roll bands. And on the periphery was James Young and Styx and that whole gang. Mm-hmm. We used to battle there. Their band, Jay and the Catalinas,
at
111th Street YMCA. Yeah. So I've known JY since I was 16.
He was just on the show a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Known him since, really brilliant and really bright man. Anyway, he went to IIT. I think he has a degree in aeronautical engineering. Yeah. He's a really smart guy also. But a bunch of the guys that I went to Fenger High School, who were rock and rollers, a few of them went to IIT, and they all formed together, and Steve became friends with a bunch of my friends.
Yeah.
And so I got to know Steve through them and through music. And Steve was also affiliated with the Organic Theater. He used to do like technical stuff for them when they'd have projection and video and stuff like that. So he was friends with Stuart Gordon, head of the Organic Theater. And the number two guy over there was Richard Fire, who was creative director, whatever, and an actor and a writer. And Richard... The Organic Theater came apart at one point, and they all, you know, Stuart went off and did Reanimator, and the actors went and, you know, I mean, Dennis Farina was in that crew, Dennis Franz was in that crew, Joey Mantegna was in that group, and Richard Fire was one of them, and Tommy Tolles was one of them, and who would play Otis. So Steve.
Otis, my man. Yeah. That's my Otis.
Steve was really hooked into the Chicago creative community more than I, so he came on board as a producer, and we've been working together since that day.
Wow, 30 years.
Yep. And so he introduced me to Richard Fire. And actually, and Richard Fire brought Tommy Tolles in as for Henry, but I didn't think he was right. I thought he was perfect for Otis, but not for Henry. And we were seeing a number of actors in the Chicago, out of the Chicago theater community for Henry, and we just didn't really find the person. We found someone we liked, but he was a little bit older, and he wasn't really sexy the way Michael was. And we thought, well, the relationship between he and Becky will have to be more of a father-daughter, more paternal than, romantic. And then we had two makeup artists. One guy, Jeff Siegel, did all the special effects makeup, and then we had Bernd Renscheff, who grew up in Germany, but he was our... beauty, so to speak.
Right.
Makeup, and also our still photographer. And Jeff Siegel had worked in Chicago theater, and Jeff had worked with Rooker. And some play, I didn't see it, I don't remember, but, you know, we're looking, and Jeff suggested, I know this guy. And Richard Fire was very dismissive of it. He hadn't seen him. Because he was really wired into Chicago theater and he didn't know Michael. So, and I just said, to me, it's like, I'll see anybody. Yeah. Send the guy over. Let's see, So Richard and I were working up at his apartment at Hollywood in a high rise at Hollywood and Sheridan. And we had made an appointment and there was a knock at the door. We used to work at this big old round table as we were writing the script. There's a knock at the door. I knew it was Michael because he called up from downstairs, but I'd never laid eyes on him.
Yeah.
I didn't know what he looked like, what he was like. So I went to answer the door, and I opened the door, and there was Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
Basically, except for his shoes, We changed his shoes, but he was wearing that Carhartt jacket,
really?
Those blue Dickie work pants. Yeah. The, you know, the whole he was dressed.
You knew the minute you saw him.
I just opened
pretty
the door
much.
And I went, and I
he's
said,
here.
I said a prayer.
It worked great. Stick around. John McNaughton is here. It's the 30th anniversary of Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. We'll tell you how you can see it again. And if you haven't seen it again, you need to see it. It's
absolutely
a very, very important film. Stick around. More of us, Bill and Mundy, in just a minute. WGN.
All right. I know I joked in our promo that one of my favorite romantic comedies, Henry, mm-hmm. Portrait of a Serial Killer, we would be discussing today with writer and director John McNaughton. But it's not funny. There are parts of it. It's real life is what it is. And there are some horrific moments, as we've discussed. But Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, in my opinion, and yours probably, is a must-see movie.
It is.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's the 30th anniversary of the film. It's been restored in 4K. It will be re-released nationwide by Dark Sky Films beginning October 21st. And is there going to be a premiere party for this?
I just thought about it this morning that there's going to be a premiere at the Chicago Film Festival on October 14th. I think it'll be, I forget what the designation is. They haven't published the time yet, but I think it'll be after 10 o'clock. It's,
it works better at that time.
Yeah. And so it's going to be a big red carpet event screening, and I think tickets go on sale like the 23rd, like in 2 days. So you can find it on the Chicago Film Festival website. But then it will be released in 20 markets, 20 cities on, I believe, the 21st. And then I'm going to New York. There's a premiere in New York on the 21st of October. And then there's a premiere in Los Angeles on the 28th of October. So they're, they're doing it. And then it'll go back out on DVD and Blu-ray. And I don't know if digital platforms. I mean, it's not my end of it.
It really found its audience once it went to VHS and Beta back in the early days. That's where America or the world really found this movie and embraced it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. We have a listener, Kevin, who wants to talk to you. John McNaughton in the studio with us. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Spookiest movie ever because it was real.
Yeah.
But I lived in Colorado during the 80s, and I delivered hardwood lumber, and when we got too much, we would hire day laborers. Well, we hired these two guys one day to deliver for us. And the reason I know is because we're waiting for them to come back, and they never came back. We called our customer. The customer paid COD in cash, and those two guys were in the wind. And the reason I know it was them is because that Henry Lou Lucas had that wandering eye, and the other guy was bald. So I,
that's them.
I get the shivers every time I think of those two guys because I was like 2 feet away from them. And then when all the stuff came out and what they did, man, it's pretty spooky when it's real life.
Yep. They were, like I say, I first saw them on an episode of 2020, and it was about that, Henry Lee Lucas, serial killer. And he had that eye. And I just, he was very charming in his way, but I mean, growing up where I grew up, I have two great talents in life. One is sleeping, and the other one is spotting deranged people at a great distance. I mean, I just have that instinct. I grew up around too many of them, and I just know that had I seen Henry from a block away, I would have crossed the street.
Really?
I mean, he had the look with that eye.
Kevin, thank you for calling. We appreciate that story. Glad you made it out of there alive.
Yeah, I know.
That would be freaky then to watch movie.
So freaky. John, you made a film, Mad Dog and Glory, another great film, with two of, I think, our generation's most interesting actors, Robert De Niro and Bill Murray. Uma Thurman's in it too and does a great job, but those two guys are two really standout actors. What was that like?
That was really a great experience. I mean, I got a call from a woman named Melanie Friesen, who at that time was Martin Scorsese's assistant. I used to have a loft on Milwaukee Avenue, and it's this. Phone rang. It's this John McNaughton. Yes. Hi, I'm Melanie Friesen. I work for Marty Scorsese. Okay. Well, I just saw your movie and I really loved it. And I gave it to Martin Scorsese and he really loves it. And he wants to talk to you. He has a project he wants to discuss. And it was like,
wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Will you be there in 10 minutes? It's like, oh no, I'm going for an ice cream cone. I'm going to the Bobby in the bar. But so 10 minutes, it was Scorsese called and, he sent this script, Richard Price script. And I read it. It was a really great script. Richard's a great writer. So I was flown to New York. I went, I think, Bigsby and Crothers in those days, because people were expecting to see a drooling maniac when they, you know, nobody knew who I was. So I bought a brand new Armani suit, and I don't know how I afforded it in those days, but I credit card most likely, and showed up at Marty's office. And, you know, everybody, I mean, Martin Scorsese is incredibly funny, bright, brilliant, fast.
Yeah.
You know, and incredibly kind and generous to me. De Niro, same. Bill, the same. Uma, the same. It was great. The one bad thing was we're supposed to shoot in New York, where it was written, and the IA, the craft union, went on strike in New York. Hmm. So we're scouting locations. So, it looks like they're going to settle. Oh, great, we're going to shoot. And then it was like, no, it fell apart. They're not settling. So where are we going to shoot? Well, we'll go to Chicago. So we kept getting jerked back and forth, Chicago, New York. And finally we had to go because we were going to lose the actor. So we brought it here and shot it here.
It worked. Boy, did it work.
I'm really a big fan of Wild Things.
Oh, yeah.
With Nev Campbell, Kevin Bacon, Denise Richards.
Matt Dillon.
And my buddy, Robert Wagner.
Wagner.
Yeah. Oh, we love him.
Yeah.
We've talked to him as well. He's a cool guy.
That's a great movie.
He had a crush on Wendy. We had him in studio, and he really had a major crush on Wendy.
Seriously. But congratulations, the 30th anniversary of Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Of course, it made Time Magazine's and Roger Ebert's 10 best lists, numerous awards at film fests. It's really a masterpiece. It really is.
Thank you. I'll just make one comment. I saw, it was last year, 2 years ago at the Chicago Film Festival. I think I had the last film that Steve Jones and I made called The Harvest with another Chicagoan, Michael Shannon. And anyway, Chaz Ebert was there and was talking to Chaz Ebert and stuff. And she told a story that in their, her and Roger have, she still has, I believe, a home somewhere in Michigan on the lake, summer place, and they have a suit of armor in their foyer or wherever. I've not been there, but she said, "You know what the name of that suit of armor is?" What, right? Henry.
It is. What a nice tribute from a man who saw 100,000 movies that meant a lot to him. John, an honor to meet you. A pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything you do, and stop by anytime. We'd love to have you on anytime.
I live here. Part of the most of the time these days.
Well, you're always welcome.
Well,
you
come
really
and
are.
Tell us about your new projects, whatever you want. We're here for you.
Right,
we're big
cool.
fans.
That's John McNaughton, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then Steve with the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.